You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth chat, discussion and analysis of every Premier League match week and the Champions League as well. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and this is what we've got coming up in today's episode. Manchester United go top of the table after their 1-0 win at Burnley, followed by a preview of their big match Sunday at Anfield against Liverpool. Manchester City pick up another clean sheet and 3 points against Brighton. Spurs and Arsenal both drop points at home, and Sheffield United finally win their first match of the season. That's what we've got coming up in today's show.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, Robbie, Manchester United, yeah. Top of the Premier League table, ahead of Liverpool by 3 points as we stand right now. Yeah. We'll get to that big matchup, of course, coming on Sunday. But let's go back and look at the Burnley United game. Manchester United winning the game 1-0. Paul Pogba really stepping up with a lovely volley, a little bit of deflection. But Man United, Rob, are on a roll.
Yeah, and Man United are answering some of the questions that people like us posed at the beginning of the season, are putting a run of form together that people who win the title have to do. Winning at times when they're not totally on top of the games, winning when they should win, and all the attributes that Manchester United teams in the past, and I think people forget sometimes in the past, Rob, that if those great days, our memory sometimes sends tricks on us. That, you know, the great Man United teams that played, that we played against, that we watched, that we saw, that we talked about, weren't brilliant every day, weren't, mate? There were days when we played and we thought, oh, maybe could have won, but maybe couldn't have won, actually, because that's what they did. They found a way. They had individuals. They worked together. They dug in. This team is starting to show some of those traits, and I think it's 17 games gone, 36 points, top of the table. That deserves the credit that it should in terms of where they are in a difficult season for everybody, in everybody not having fans and COVID, and obviously the rise of COVID recently, and players being in and out and all those things. Manchester United have found a way to get top of the pile and deserve a lot of credit for that, Rob, because I think in the past we've at times been critical when it hasn't quite gone. And what they found now is finding a way to get those 3 points, which is the most important thing of all when you're playing Premier League football. It's about the points.
Yeah, and they've won more games up to this point than anybody else. And, you know, maybe a little bit of a slow start again at Burnley, but we've seen this in the past where they've started slowly away from home and got on to win the game. They didn't go behind in this game. But second half, Rob, I think I said it at half-time, like, that wasn't great for Man United, but what we've seen and what we've learned up to this point is that sometimes happens with them. and they get better and they dominate in the second half. And that's exactly what happened. Bruno Fernandes started to find the spots again in between the lines, started to dictate stuff. Paul Pogba, Robbio, was in a different position. He played alongside Nemanja Matic. Now, we will preview the Liverpool game in a few minutes. But Pogba was good, Rob. Was involved, Pogba was dominant. Like, he's such a difficult player to kind of put in a box or to, because just when you think, you know what, enough's enough. He doesn't want to be there. He's inconsistent. He's unreliable. He doesn't play well all the time. Now, for whatever reason, whether it's injury, he's back to his best, and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer said he, you know, had a brush with COVID and everything else. Mm. But he in a defensive role, was what you want him to be for Manchester United.
And I'm hearing, Rob, again, Ollie was talking about him after, said that he's probably having some of his best moments, certainly of the season, on the pitch. But off the pitch, he's important in that dressing room. He brings something to that dressing room. I thought it was more like a powerhouse Pogba performance. We're starting to see there's a couple back-to-back now. We saw him recently put in a decent performance, and we said, well, you know, can Pogba keep interested? He looks interested, Rob. He looks to me like the guy when
They're in for a title. Is that the reason?
Is that what you're going to knock him for? Is that what you're going to say? Well, maybe that's what Manchester United have to do. Manchester United have to be. I have seen Kevin De Bruyne get frustrated when Man City aren't playing particularly well in the same way, because you know what? They're demanding individuals. They demand of themselves and their teammates, isn't it? Paul Pogba maybe doesn't do it in necessarily the right way. Paul Pogba has deserved criticism when he hasn't been put into the team, but also he deserves credit on the other side. And if being top of the table, if being challenging for trophies is what turns the guy on, I don't have such a big problem with that, because that's what winners are. That's what people have said. Bruno Fernandes coming to the football club and done, and it's changed standard and it's got people around the room. Now, yes, these days when Paul Pogba, at times, you don't know what you're going to get. That's the bit I don't like. But in terms of, listen, if he's driven by trophies, Rob, if he's a winner, if that's your thing, you know what? I'll have a few more of those in my dressing room.
Yeah, and also, I think, you know, we can argue about that point, right? About whether he should be a consistent player, given who he is and what he's done. But actually, I think United fans give a monkeys at the moment. They're in a title race. He's playing well. He's happy. Bruno Fernandes and Paul Pogba link up a lot together. Mm. Who cares about the past? We got a real chance of winning this title. Yeah. Another 3 points. They win a lot of games. You know, you could argue that they've been a team of moments, of individual bits of brilliance, which continues to happen, by the way. It's this week it was Pogba, and they've got some quality there. Rashford was a little quieter. He provides the assist. You know, Mason Greenwood's not been involved so much. You know, they're kind of spreading it around a little bit, but they're getting the job done.
I would say as well, Rob, just adding to that point, is that they can get better, by the way. They're nowhere near potential. They're playing okay, and they're winning games and having moments, and they've got individuals who are...
Where can they get better? Where can they get better? Yeah.
They can get better with their possession of football. They can get better with their speed of play. They can get better with their, and I'm not sure how it's going to go, they can get better with their attacking movements. Is Rashford really as dangerous on the right-hand side with Martial left and Cavani? That's going to be a front three. Is there a split two that are playing Rashford and Martial, or does Greenwood come in the picture? I mean, I'm still not sure that three, when you looked at the Liverpool three or the Man City three that won titles, it was like, you know, Sterling, Aguero, and Mahrez or Sane. It was Mo, it was Mane, it was Bobby Firmino. I'm not sure those three are in that mould yet where you go, those three are the three who are going to get us the goals, and they're playing in that style. But that can get better. That might be something, listen, we've still got 20-odd games of a season to go. That can grow into becoming a really exciting front three with Greenwood to come in as and when.
I think watching them right now and see where they are right now, and I understand the excitement, I understand what they can potentially do, but there is another half to the season. And all along, Rob, I know that we, and particularly me, have talked about good United, bad United. No question right now, it's good United. I'm still not confident that we can see this good United that gets stronger, that maybe do improve, and keep finding ways to win, to stay there. I could absolutely be proved wrong with that, of course. Mm. Do you get any more sense over the last couple of weeks and kind of grinding out a little bit and players doing something special? Do you see something that persuades you that they can stay here all the way through, that they have found a way to be consistent and stay there? Or do you think the bad United is going to, which I got to be honest, I still think there's going to be a, there's going to be a dip off that's going to cost them at the end of the season. What do you feel about that?
It's interesting. So one of the things I was starting to think about United is they may win the title not being the best football team. United have got at the moment, I don't know if and I don't know if this is a temporary thing or it could be something that over time. They can win not playing well, which is a strength. And if they can add some performance to not playing well, do you know what, Rob? They could win it. And it, some might say, well, it's not as pretty as Liverpool's. It's not as exciting as Man City's. It's a title, mate. And if that's the way they've got to start to get back into it, I'm as a Manchester. If I was a Manchester United fan, I'd be excited by the thought that if Pogba starts to sniff it and gets excited, if Bruno Fernandes, who didn't play particularly well against Burnley, I thought, and it was interesting that you know Pogba stepped up, if you know, the Wan-Bissakas and Luke Shaw start to feel like, wow, this could be my first title. If Bailly and Maguire start to build, you know, there's lots of little things that can get better, can get 20, 30% better in this team collectively. All of a sudden, mate, we're in amongst it, aren't we? We're in amongst it come the run in, because this team have shown when they haven't played particularly well, they can still win games. Liverpool probably have shown recently, haven't played particularly well and not won games.
One of the big areas of improvement, Robbie Earl, is defensively. This team lost 6-1, wasn't it? Yeah. They lost 6-1 to Spurs. When you looked at Bailly and Maguire, and it's like, wow, like they had really bad days. Is that gone then? Are we going to see that again? I mean, can a team and can individuals be improved that much again? I've just got a few doubts because of what I've seen.
I know what you mean, and I've been saying for a while. Bailly's been a fine Bailly, the Bailly that we see now, and what we don't know with who Bailly is one bad mistake coming that sends him down another road. But listen, let's talk about where he is at the moment. Solid, dependable, aggressive when he needs to be. It looks like there's a nice relationship between him and Maguire. Wan-Bissaka, we know, is an excellent defender. At times, we criticise him going forward. Luke Shaw's playing probably as consistently as he's been for some time in United. All of a sudden, that looks like a four. By the way, the goalkeeper behind him has lifted his game, Rob. There was an area where we were saying, not sure. All of a sudden, he looks back. And I think that's what confidence gives. That's what winning gives. That's what maybe a little bit of belief going in that dressing room. I mean, right now, Rob, they're sitting in that dressing room looking down at the rest of the league, saying, we beat Liverpool, we go 6 points top.
Yeah.
6 points clear.
Who deserves special mention for you, Mr. Earl? I'm looking at managers here. I'm going to sell Charlotte.
You know who deserves special mention? Who's my underappreciated performer of the week? And he's gone back to the wheel. And when it's been right, and I think we've tried to be as fair and honest as we can, when it's been right, we've criticised him, Rob. We've criticised the lack of team shape, the lack of style of play, the lack of balance sometimes and chemistry within the team, the reliance on individuals. We've gone strong and we've detailed it. What we also should say is, listen, we've also, and I have gone back to the days of Sir Alex Ferguson when I've said the Jose Mourinho's, the times Pep Guardiola's and Jurgen Klopp's. You know, this Liverpool team haven't played too well today, but core, they have not put it in and won a game. They have not found a way to win a game. That's what champions do. Do you know what, Ollie? It's your week this week, sir. Take a bow, have a big glass of red wine, and you take 17 games, top of the table. Your team are finding a way. Not in always the most glorious style, but there was elements in that Burnley game where they had to hang in a little bit. Burnley were doing the Burnley thing. They score a great goal with Harry Maguire that on other days goes in. They don't let that.
Do you think that was a foul, by the way, Rob? There's been mixed kind of like response to the Maguire. A lot of people, I think, felt it was okay.
Yeah, I mean, I felt it was okay, but I understood why it was given, Rob. So I don't know if that doesn't actually. If that's me heading, I'm so disappointed because I've got up early and I'm not really obstructing him. But the moment my hand goes on they're back.
Yeah,
that becomes a problem. I think that's why it's not given. But as it happened, I was like, what a brilliant header that is from Maguire.
So let's do move forward, Rob, okay, to Sunday. What is it? It's 11:30, isn't it? 11:30 Eastern time.
11:30 Eastern time.
On Peacock Sunday. Premium. And I'll read out the PointsBet sports book, of course, the partners that we use for all our odds.
Yeah.
And this is what they've got so far. They've got Liverpool win is -106, a Man United win +250, a draw +275. So they really think it's going to be a winner here, and they think it's going to be Liverpool. I've got to say,
it's even, isn't it, Liverpool?
It's pretty much even money. I've got to say, in terms of value again, and I always see a little bit of value when I look at these odds. I think United's the value.
Yeah,
I think Man United away from home.
Yeah,
with Liverpool. We don't know who's going to play centre back. We don't know what midfield is going to look like. We know there's going to be a reaction for Liverpool, Rob, and it's such a. We just finished a show there with Tim Howard, and we were just talking about this game, previewing it, and
I know
it's the obvious thing to say, but my goodness, don't we want the fans in for this game, the biggest game of English football, the two giants of English football, the two 20 league titles for Man United, 19 for Liverpool, a chance to, if they can go back to back, to get to 2020. I mean, it's going to be astonishing. It's a shame the fans aren't going to be there, of course.
We've waited years for this, haven't we? Because back in the day when United were winning them, Liverpool weren't very good. Back in the days when Liverpool were winning them, United weren't very good. We get a chance back where the big two are back to the top two. And as you say, so sad that fans won't be in. Yeah, we'll, obviously the next best thing is to watch it on Peacock on Sunday, 11:30. But yeah, you're right, Rob. And it's interesting with the odds that Liverpool are almost even favourites to win at -106 and Manchester United +250. Because for me, the value's in Manchester United. Away form's been outstanding. The ability to hit on counter-attack. A Liverpool defence that you say is kept rotating and managing to hold things together. But if United go and can dominate some possession and play on the front foot, you wonder what might happen there. It's such an interesting one, Rob, because the incentive for United to go 6 points clear is huge. It's absolutely huge mentally and for the football club and for Ollie and the group of players. I think it's a massive thing. For Liverpool to know, to say, OK, this is a day we'll put a stop to United getting too carried away. They are the champions. They're going to want to hold on to it. The last person they want to lose the title to would be Manchester United. So it's all there for us, mate. It's absolutely all there for us. My gut, and for some reason, my gut says to me that Liverpool won't lose this game. I don't know why. Just something about what's gone on, what's happened over the last few years, mate.
Well, if you just think about it, right, from Liverpool's point of view, and what's been great about Man United, it's really one player. Stop Bruno, Liverpool. Now, again, we're not sure who's playing centre-back for Liverpool.
Yeah.
If that, in an ideal world, if Van Dijk's back there and others are back there, a Fabinho or Jordan Henderson, get around Bruno.
Shut him out. Yeah.
Because if you can stop him getting the supply of the ball, which is not easy because he's clever and he'll go in
wide
areas to go away from that guy. He is the key player, isn't he? He is the key player. And if you can stop him
getting that Pogba there now, Rob, doesn't Pogba give you another problem? An informed Paul Pogba gives you a problem though, mate, as well. Now, all of a sudden, that's what United have.
Will Ole Gunnar Solskjaer play Paul Pogba in the middle of midfield where he's not been trusted?
Absolutely plays him. 1,000,000% plays him.
Not in the middle of park, he doesn't.
1,000,000% Pogba's in the start.
No way.
How can you go?
Yes, but not in the middle of the park. Not side by side. He'll play that left role. He'll play the left role.
Not totally convinced. Might be a diamond. Not. Wouldn't be surprised to see a diamond with Bruno in the head. Probably two in the front two where he counter-attacks. Wouldn't be surprised to see that.
I think if Pogba plays to the left-hand side, you know, you got Rashford to the right and Cavani and Martial up front. I just don't know why. I think it's got to be McTominay and Fred. Away from home, Robert Anfield with a midfield. Yeah. Normally, well, Liverpool.
You could get McTominay and Fred with a diamond, what I'm saying. So yeah, McTominay, Fred, Pogba, Bruno in front two.
Don't think he'll mess around with a diamond. I mean, there's been ups and downs. You know, they've got it with this 4-2-3-1 with Bruno in the number 10. I know what you say. I just don't know whether that's going to happen. Thiago Alcantara, Yeah. It's time for him to step up for Liverpool, Rob. I just wonder if he's going to be part of that midfield for Liverpool that can dictate the play, that can absolutely run the game.
He's not a shut down, is he? He's not a shut down of Bruno, in fairness. He's a get on the ball and start to make him play a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I think Liverpool fans now want to see him. Want to see him, because we all know he's a world-class player. It looks like he's okay again. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, just trying to figure out this game, I think United defensively have got to be excellent. Yeah. Liverpool's front three that's been off a little bit.
Yeah,
them needs to fire a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the midfield area is going to be super critical. Can Thiago start? Can he dictate the play? And can they stop Bruno on the counter-attack? That for me, is going to be the main kind of things to watch out for in the game. But it's going to be a fascinating game, all to play for. Come on, Liverpool. If you can do it, I don't want to hear about
it. Yeah,
it's a tester.
This is the tester. Pressure's on, and can't wait for that one, mate. Sunday, as you say, 11:30 kickoff on Peacock Prime. Huge game, huge consequences at stake, and is this the first step back for United to win the title since the great days
of Liverpool? By the way, I'm going for Liverpool to the win. What do you say?
I said Liverpool not to get beat. I'm not sure yet. I've got a few more days to get my head around it.
Yeah,
the closer I get, the more I'll get my feelings. But okay, mate, let's move on. There were some other games this week. Manchester City are creeping, Robbie Musto, are creeping back into the title race. Third in the table, 16 games played, 32 points, so 4 points behind with a game in hand. And Manchester City are getting the job done. Phil Foden is becoming an integral part of what we're seeing now for Manchester City. Not quite the expansive scoring 3 and 4 and blowing teams away, but getting the job done, having to overcome, I thought, which was a plucky Brighton team who continued to play good football and continued to represent the team and the manager well. Unfortunately, not quite getting enough points, which is my slight worry. But City are going to be there or thereabouts, mate.
They really are. There's no question. I mean, there's one part of the footballing puzzle that's not there, and that's the consistent striker goals. We know the reason for that. You know, Jesus has been out. Aguero's been out. If one of those, probably Aguero, if he can get back in the number nine position. I thought there was times in this game, Rob, they missed a number nine. I know the false nines work pretty well. And this game was super fluid, by the way. I mean, if you just sat back and watched that game, you got players popping up all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, really was. I just thought he lacked a little bit of a centre forward. Everything else is good. Football's good. Midfield players are scoring goals for them. Yeah. All over. Phil Foden has got 8 goals in all competitions, a top goal scorer at the football.
10 team. Now, isn't it? 10, I read. 10 in all competitions, I think.
I thought it was 8.
Oh, well.
Yeah, 8th goal in all competition, top scorer, 20 years of age. That's what I've got written down here. And the other thing I want to talk about just real quick, and it's the same theory. I had a really good look. So in the studio, we've got the tactical camera. Yeah. I had a really long and good look at those centre-backs.
Clean
sheet. We saw a couple of individual bits from John Stones that was excellent. Yeah. And there's no question now. He is in tip-top, career best form. But more than that, and I ask you, and I ask everybody, listeners or viewers, have a look at the two of them. Have a look at the two of them off the ball. Just watch them. They are intense.
Yeah.
They are connected. Yeah. They're synchronized. They're focused. They're concentrated. They are pointing. There's something about them that you're getting the synergy now of two players playing really well. But then it just feels like they want clean sheets, Rob. It feels like they are directing. And even one of the shots, who was it from? I think it was Trossard.
You know, Trossard.
Mopé went through. They're taking a pride in these clean sheets. They're taking a pride in their best defensive record in the Premier League table. And I just you know, people to watch them.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
Remember when we saw that against them.
I know exactly.
Alderweireld and
absolutely. Vertonghen.
And we saw the two of them in sync in tandem. Yeah. It's really interesting because I remember, I think it was last week before, there was a little ISO and I did a little John Stones and said, you know, while he's playing well, look at this, the other side. And he was pushing and he was pointing and he was pulling people up and all that. It's really interesting that you said, because again, we try and look at things on the tactical camera, keep an eye on little bits that might not be always picked up by the main camera. And what I get the sense with John Stones is, Rob, is that he's now enjoying the responsibility. He's always the one before who's been told, John, come up, John, go back. You do, you know, he's always been the kid, hasn't he? He's been like the apprentice, and somebody's been, it looks to me like he's enjoying being the guy.
But maybe
that comes from playing well and the confidence. Maybe when you're not on top of your game, you just feel like, I'll just get on with my own job. I ain't going to bother tell anybody else.
Well, you can't, can you? If you're not playing well, you can't start ordering people and being that kind of leader figure. So maybe the confidence has come on the back of good performances, trust from his manager, keeping out Laporte and others. And now all of a sudden he's playing well and he feels important. He feels important enough for his club without Vincent Kompany and some other big name players to be the guy defensively. And that, you know, is great. I tell you, really, really good to see from a guy, you know, also for England, Rob, as an England fan.
He's in your first 11.
Yeah, at his best, he's the first. He's trying to back on the, you know. So I really, I mean, I'll keep talking about him, don't we? But why not? Why not talk about him? And it's just really interesting to see somebody go from really dodgy, low confidence, mistakes to change. It's amazing transformation.
Isn't it funny, like, confidence and momentum, you talk about it. Phil Foden's obviously got it now, feeling a part of things, scoring goals. He feels like he's going to be an important part. John Stones saying, Raheem Sterling, Rob, to a sense, and I wouldn't say he's not having a nightmare period or season where things, but just maybe a slight dip in confidence. The penalty he puts over, he comes on as a sub, not quite as sparkly. The goals haven't quite flowed in the manner that they did last year. Been a bit in and out this season, not quite. Maybe hasn't played in a set position with a set structure and all those things. Has his level just dropped this season?
He got 20 goals last year, Rob. 20 Premier League goals. He's got 4 in 14, 3 assists. Absolutely right. I think it's pretty obvious that he isn't quite the same player at the moment, but all players have a little bit of a dip. What I would say is if Man City are going to continue and they are going to try and win this Premier League title, I'm not sure you can get away with a non-existent striker. And you know, one of your scoring wingers that isn't at the top of his game, you know, that's put a lot of responsibility on De Bruyne and Phil Foden and Gundogan to win a title. So I think he's going to need to get, and he probably will. You know, he probably will. But you're right. He's a poor penalty, Rob, wasn't it? Why didn't De Bruyne take it?
I don't know whether they're hoping to kickstart things. You never know what goes on in the dressing room. But yeah. Not quite right, but as you say, plenty of games to go. Players have been sort of maybe a little dip, short pre-seasons, maybe a little bit tired from the summer. We'll see how that kicks on it as we go.
Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Let's move on to another team who've kind of lost a little bit of their fizz, I would say. Tottenham Hotspur. Managed to do the job in Marine in the FA Cup. But sixth in the table now, Rob. 6 points behind Manchester United at a time when Tottenham, at one time, we're talking about Jose and this group and making the step.
Yeah, winning the title.
Spurs have become the Spurs under Jose. Can score goals, can look tight, but eventually going to give something away. Aerial threats in it defensively seem to cause them goals. The amount of goals, and they go back to Schlupp, I think, Palace. I think it's Saez against Wolves. It was... what was the other one? There was a couple of others now. Balls in the box.
Liverpool. I think it was Liverpool. It was Liverpool, Palace.
Yeah, Firmino, Palace, Wolves, and now Fulham. Balls in the box, not being defended well. Caballero with a really good header from the Luckman cross. But again, Spurs have... Jose, I was listening to his interview after because I wanted to see, and he said, not good enough, but good enough to win. So he said, we didn't finish the job off, but we had enough chances to have done it. But they can't keep a clean sheet now.
Yeah, I mean, this... The disappointing thing is, Rob, let's be honest about this, right? We know how they play. We know what Spurs signed up for. But Fulham, you know, at home, you're 1-0 up. It doesn't feel good or look good, I'm sure, to the Spurs fans, that they sit back and try and see out a 1-0. That's been, like you said, 3, 4, 5 times. They've conceded so many. They've lost points from winning positions. I think, like, one of the most in the league or whatever. I think there's a stat that we rolled out today. And you just think, you've got to try and score more. You've got to try and dominate more with the ball. Fulham, absolute full marks to them, played really, really well. But scoring, going 1-0 up, Robin, sitting back and watching Fulham dominate at your stadium, it's not a good look. And like you said, you have to put John Terry back there.
Sorry to go in. It's okay, I think, if you get the result. I think everything's done by, okay, well, we did sit back and we got the 1-0. But sitting back and then not having, and he seems to have the confidence that his team can do this, and then they basically aren't up to it. They're not that as comfortable. They're not as robust. They're not as solid as his teams in the past. So from the opposition's point of view, you build up your confidence. You start having more chances. You start believing more. You're going to get goals.
And people sort of say, well, the game should have been won in the first half. All these chances that Spurs created, no. Because as soon as they score one of those chances, they'll do the same thing. So if one of those early chances goes in, it's not as though Spurs were going to continue.
They did that at Wolves, didn't they? Scored in the first minute at Wolves.
They'll score, and as soon as that first goal goes in, oh, great, here's the 3 points, boys. And also, by the way, just in terms of the lineup, Rob.
Yeah.
Harry Winks is, you know, alongside Højbjerg.
Moussa Sissoko.
Moussa Sissoko's done really well as a central midfield player. Why play him right midfield at home against Fulham? When you've got, by the way, we're going to have a conversation with Gareth Bale. When you've got Lucas on the bench, we've got Bale, you've got Lamella, you've got other. Why Moussa Sissoko right midfield when you want to create something? Can you explain?
Well, he looks Sissoko, and he'd rather a warrior in there than somebody who's going to take.
In a goal scoring wide creative position.
Hold on, this is a Jose team. That's not a goal-scoring wide position. That's a defensive holding right-sided. I mean, he changes the look, doesn't he? And he's happy to do that, Rob, if he gets his clean sheet. But in that respect, he's got it wrong. That's a bad call. If you keep the clean sheet, it wasn't too adventurous, but we got the job done. But when not, when you need to create, when you've got one goal and somebody gets it and you've got to find another way to another, Sissoko's not going to be that guy. And you also take Sissoko out of the role that he's been outstanding in for you next to Højbjerg.
So one player that would love to play wide right, Robbie Earl.
Oh, Gareth Bale's becoming our new Mesut Ozil, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it brought in at great expense. Was sat on the bench thinking, yeah, you need another goal. I'm here. Mm-hmm. And yet, Lamella came on, Vinicius came on, Gareth Bale sat on the bench. Why, Robbie Earl? Why? What's the point of bringing him into the club? Is he that bad? Are we finding out why Real Madrid wanted to get rid of him? Is he not ready to play? Is it Jose's style?
He's saving him, Musty. He's saving him.
I mean, seriously, mate. Listen, that's a lot of money.
I know, but when you look at it, I think Gareth Bale still has a role to play, whether that's going to be starting in Jose's team or coming on, I think, more likely. In some respect, I think this was a signing for the fans in the football club and less for Jose. I think it was the fans getting a hero back. I think it was for the dressing room of the club to get, you know, that this world-class player who's been one of theirs, who's gone away and had a little bit of a bad time now, he's brought him back in. But I don't think ever Jose was thinking, he's a starter for me. He doesn't. On everything you said and everything in terms of the way they play and everything that when Gareth Bale plays in a team that gets one goal and then wants to drive on and go and show you how he can get the second and put the game away. Not Jose Mourinho.
It's just bewildering to me. And at the first few weeks and months, Rob, I get it. Let him settle in. He's got to get back to fitness. But I mean, I know he's played in other competitions. I just think the Spurs fans would in this game particularly. And by the way, this is another home game. And it's such a, you know, it's pressure playing at home. And with this Arsenal, whether it's Spurs or wherever it is, Man United, if you're not playing at home, it's a different environment. What are the Spurs fans? I'll ask you the question. What are the Spurs fans now thinking about a manager that, to be fair, has got them to a League Cup final? What they really, really want. Are they okay with it? Are they going to stay patient, Rob, in terms of a Premier League challenge or a progression to get to that point, even though the football can be a little dire? And again, this is what they signed up for, but how patient will the Spurs fans be, I guess?
Everything's about the final outcome with Jose, for me, mate. Everything's about the final outcome. If he wins the League Cup, do you know what? We'll oversee some of the other things. If we finish in the top four, we'll oversee some of the other things. If not, the stick's going to come and the criticism's going to come and the style and this isn't Spurs and he's trying to do it his way and it doesn't work. Because they try to do it the other way with Pochettino, being on the ball, being progressive, playing great football, being good on the eye, and they missed out. They were this close at times. They've been the Champions League final. They should have won maybe a title the last one, and they were this close. So they go the other way. They go, right, the ruthless guy, the guy who gets it done, the guy who gets it over the line. I've got good friends who are Spurs fans. I'll put up with it, but he's got to land it. He's got to bring the titles. He's got to do what he's brought in to do. And if he doesn't, they'll jump on him, mate. They're ready to go.
Time for my underappreciated performer this midweek. Somebody I played with. A manager. You're a manager. I'm going for a manager. Scott Parker. Underappreciated. Talented. Mm. Are we finding out now about him and what he can do? That first game of the season where they lost to Arsenal 3-0, it looked like a lost cause at that point. Wow, what a good job, Rob. What a good job. What a difficult job for a promoted team with a ton of new players looking way off the pace initially to find a way to use different players and systems. We've said it before, but it keeps going. It keeps going. And I think now is the time for me just to say, wow, well done, Scott Parker. I mean, not just in the second half, but all the way through the game, a team that looked like a really good team, played really good football. Defensively, he's got something going on. Defensively, they are pretty good. I looked at there before this game started. The defensive record is very, very strong. Going forward, they've got a threat. I thought Ruben Loftus-Cheek was fired up to play in this game. I just think, you know, it's hard for these young managers. We're seeing it now with Frank Lampard. We see it with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. We see it with these young guys. You're kind of learning on the job a little bit. I mean, Scott's been a manager for what? Almost two years.
Of
course, he had a little stint in the Premier League before. But I just, you know, I think it's right for us to point something like that out, a club that's not one of the giant clubs, and somebody that could have a good career. You know, are we looking at somebody, you know, he's emotional, Robin. Even his interviews today, so emotional, that might be something that after time kind of dwindles away a little bit. It probably should. But I've got to say, every interview now, you look at him and he's so serious and he's so fired up and he cares so much about it, which is great. Because the pressures that come with the job are obviously huge. But I just wanted to give a shout out to Scott Parker. Good football, defensively great, made them better in so many different ways. And I get it, they're still in the relegation zone. But I tell you what, they look a better team than certainly Newcastle United, Brighton, Hove Albion, Burnley are finding a way. So, you know, we talk a lot about the top teams, Rob.
They play better football than Crystal Palace, must be. And you're right, it's a really good shout. I remember seeing him in the playoffs come up. He was in tears as he got the team up. Yeah. And you talk about that emotion, and I hope he keeps the emotion. I liked how he fought for his football club when he thought that the 2 days of preparation. I like that. Yeah. You know, he's not just sucking up to Jose Mourinho and the league and being there. And he's shown, and as a manager and as a player, I'd look at him and you say, he's done exceptionally well. They've got a chance, mate, this time of staying in this league. They've got a really good chance. And it's a really good chart, actually, because first couple of games, I'm thinking, oh, they're out of the league here.
He's done
a really good job of making them serious, of people respecting them and respecting his football club. So, good shout. Two managers this week are underappreciated performers of the week. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at Manchester United and Scotty Parker at Fulham. Let's move it on quickly. There's a few more games, mate, just to touch on. Arsenal. Not the greatest game, I'd say, against Crystal Palace. One of them where I think both teams take a point and walk away. I heard somebody say it's one of those games where I think if you play and you just make sure you don't lose, but it wasn't an awful lot of great football in there. Arsenal obviously still missing a few people. Thomas Partey back in in the squad, which is a boost. Hopefully they'll start to get him back on the pitch. Granit Xhaka, actually, I thought, again, put in a decent performance. Always is my favourite, but at times he shows that he's committed to it and he wants to get things right. And I think this where at Arsenal are, Rob, that they're a work in progress, they're a transition, they're starting to work things out in terms of, well, you know, Kieran Tierney, which is a loss, he's become a really big player to him, and just his drive and his energy. You know, he's starting to remind me of Rob in a way, and I know he's a slightly different player. It's a bit of a Stuart Pearce. Remember back in the day, like from left side back, somebody who gave the team heart and drive and a little bit of physicality.
Mm. Yeah, I thought he was really badly missed, particularly today, because Palace kind of give you the wider areas. The only thing, Rob, like, there's positivity around Arsenal about the last 3 or 4 results. They won in the FA Cup as well. And you think, oh, okay, here we're going to go. I'm pretty sure I said it on the show a couple of weeks ago. I still look at the team sheet and think, It's all right. And they've got some results and they've stopped the bleeding or whatever. But today was a bit of reality checks maybe is a little bit too strong, but they're improving, but they're a long way off. I mean, you just said it. The way you described the first, what you said there, Rob, about, kind of no one wanted to lose. This is Arsenal versus Crystal Palace. There's 1 point behind these two teams. They've played 17 matches. They're mid-table. Are you saying, mid-table teams are happy with a point each? Is that where we're at with Arsenal right now?
Yeah, unfortunately we are, mate, because the other side of the coin is we've seen them losing games and looking like all of a sudden they could be 17th in the league. We're not seeing it. It shows a size of job that needs to be done. It shows that there's a huge wheeling out process of getting some players out. Robert, this thing needs cleaning up.
It does need cleaning up.
And it's going to take some big... And my what do I say, concern? My slight issue is Mikel Arteta going to be ruthless enough to do some of the things that's needed in a cleanup?
Well, it's between him and Edu.
Because
those two have been given the keys.
Yeah. They've been given everything. You rebuild it.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of turnaround at this club. I actually spent this morning before the game having a really good dig around of recent happenings around the boardroom and directors of footballs and head of footballs, people coming and going. And really, since Arsene Wenger left, Rob, even Gazidis came and left for AC Milan. And God, there's been a lot of transition, a lot of different opinions. Edu is now, he's taken control. And I saw interviews with him saying, I want a lean team of recruitment. All these head scouts and guys that have done great jobs at Arsenal have gone. It's Edu with a small bunch of people. They use this analysis stat company. I think they bought it. They own this company. And it's a lot based on stats in terms of who they're going to recruit. Of course, they'll watch players as well. But it's all – and Arteta, you talked about, inexperienced manager. Edu had a lot of success with this at the Corinthians in Brazil. Yeah. A lot of success as a director. And then he went to the national team of Brazil where he didn't do so well. And now he's into this job at Arsenal. So in some ways, two Arsenal greats – maybe a little strong, but two Arsenal guys, but fairly inexperienced in their roles. Yeah. But I don't mind that. I like it. Let's see. Let's see what happens. Edu's done some good work, some questionable work with some of the guys that have been there. But I think he's trying to clean it up. He's trying to get the recruitment like lean and effective and good. But you're right. There's still sifting out. There's still players that need to go. As Ozil looks like he's on the verge of leaving the club, and a few others. I just thought it was interesting, Rob. That's where the club is right now, and Arsenal fans will have to be patient, because I kind of like the way it is right now. But it's going to take time to fill that squad with the quality needed to be a top six, top 14.
Like the way Arteta wants that. It's a couple of years away, isn't it? From good recruitment, and if you get three wrong, we've seen with Chelsea, you get one or two wrong and it can hold you back.
They can struggle to get rid of them.
So bit of work for Arsenal to do, put in a piece. Let's move on to a good story this week. Chris Wilder, Sheffield United, have won a Premier League game. Now, I said a couple of weeks ago when I was on the show, I think it was Sheffield United were playing, I think it was Palace or somebody, and I said, you don't want to be that team, Newcastle United or that team.
I had a text from a good friend of mine, Newcastle fan, during this game or towards the end of this game, and he said, we're going down. And I know there's been there's been some real frustrations with Steve Bruce as a manager.
Yeah.
And I think when you see last season, you know, the big picture, the fans aren't that close to it will say, you know what, Steve Bruce done well. Rafa Benitez, you know, regarded, did well to keep him up. Steve Bruce comes in and, yeah, does pretty well. Starts the season pretty strong, gets his 5 wins pretty early on. But when you watch the team and you do look closer at it and you do now start to point the finger and look at games like this, it is starting to be alarming. They're getting close to the bottom of the league table again. They got the 5. When I see 5 wins, I'm like, wow, that's kind of early to get 5. Because Steve Bruce said to us once, Rob, on a phone call,
he always looks
to get with 10 yeah. wins. He probably got his 5 thinking, we're going to be okay. They might not be okay. And they might get sucked into it. Now, there might be 2 worse teams. But we've just talked about Fulham that don't look a worse team. West Brom might be one team that are worse than Newcastle. Sheffield United, I really don't think they can get out of it. So it might be one spot and they might escape it. But I get it. The Newcastle United are in trouble. It's just whether the board and the ownership say, we're spiraling downwards, we stick with this guy, or we look to make a change. How many weeks, how many more results, Rob, are we off of that being a legit conversation that has to happen at St James's Park?
I think away, personally.
Yeah.
I don't think Mike Ashley will do it. I think he's thinking more about trying to sell a club. I think it'd be more likely when somebody comes into the football club. I think Ashley will feel if they can just stay in, that's all that matters to him. He'll get the money. I don't think there's any ambition at the football club. I don't think you see what, as the team is set up, there's any real ambition. I mean, Callum Wilson must be looking, going, really? This is what being a number 9 for Newcastle United's about. I mean,
if they didn't get him, Rob, if they didn't have him,
is it eight goals? I mean, it'd be ridiculous. And listen, Steve Bruce they've got 19 points, Rob, which is, you know, all of a sudden and every now and then they pull out a result. They win a couple of games, and all of a sudden they could be 26 and find themselves mid table and enough, you know, to float around that bottom end and stay up. But, which is why I think they'll do that, and why I think Steve Bruce will stay in the job. But for Newcastle United fans, it's like a slow death. It's like an absolute.
I do look at the points, Rob, and I hear you. But there's a long way to go. There's a long way to go. I mean, right
some
now,
of those teams are going to get 30 odd points. I mean, you look at Newcastle, 3 wins in 10 more games, let's say.
Yeah, they won't do that. Who are they beating?
Yeah, they can find a way every now and then. They come up with a day.
Yeah, I'm more concerned than you, I guess, that this could get a little bit emergency situation, but. We'll see, mate. We'll talk. We'll retouch this in a week or two and see where they're at and see what results they've got.
I'd give a love to Chris Wilder because he said he was asked after how long have you been waiting for this, and he said every minute of every hour of every game I've waited for this result, and he's had to endure that bit of criticism. His team have probably embarrassed him and themselves at times in the way they've won. They've got to win one. It's 5 points. They're 9 points away from safety. Is there a chance? A couple of people have said, you know what, I'm not writing them off.
Oh, well, the slimmest. And it will be the great escape to end all great escapes. I can't see it, mate. There's no chance. I mean, there is a chance, so I shouldn't say that. But my goodness, I mean, that's a long way.
If they won the next 3 games, let's just say, bear with me for relativity.
Yeah, yeah.
In 3 or, you know, go on a 3 game run, all of a sudden, you could say, wow, they're back in it. They give themselves a chance. They've almost had one of those runs, haven't they, to give themselves a chance.
Yeah. And I tell you what they got to do, mate, in my opinion, is play Billy Sharp. He's a scorer. As soon as he comes on, he makes a run in behind. He's a scorer. He's a scorer. And sometimes your older players, you know, I looked at him, Rob, again closely. Whenever the ball's in and around the attacking area, he gets himself to the middle of the goal. He's always there or thereabouts. He made the run in behind. He puts a pressure on. He gets a penalty. He scores a penalty. Play him. Play him more. And I know they spent money. I know there's 5 strikers that are chomping at the bit, and they've all had reasonable opportunities. Play Billy Sharp because he's a scorer. And there's one thing they need right now is just a guy to tap balls in, be in the right place at the right time. You know, I think fair play to him. There's a reason he's a club legend. There's a reason he gets goals consistently. And I know he's not... with his situation, you wouldn't expect him to be an important part of it, but maybe he is going to be of it. And maybe he has to be one of those two. We often play two strikers. He made this game happen. He helped the 3 points. And I mean, I still think it's still crazy to think they've got 5 points after 18 games, one win, 15 losses out of eight. Anyway, but no, maybe it's time to say, well done, finally, to Chris Wilder. And I think you're right. They've got, it's now they've got to go on a crazy good run.
Yeah. And I think they did a look that they play at the weekend. I did see the game. They've got an interesting game at the weekend coming up.
Oh, they're home against Spurs, Rob, on Sunday.
Yeah, Spurs. So do you know what, Rob? 9:05. Yeah, just if they get it going a little bit, there's a little bit of confidence back in the camp. Whether Billy Sharp starts or comes off the bench, he's got that kind of influence, as you say, where you think the goal might come. Come on, Rian Brewster, show us what you can do, lad. You know, we paid $30 million for you. Come on, kid. We need you. let's move it on to Everton Football Club, Robbie Musser. There's no DCL, no Dominic Calvert-Lewin, but absolutely no problem in the end. Everton got the job done. Hammers back in the team, starting to pull the strings a little bit. Love the goal by Alex Iwobi, who looks like a multi-year player. Nice shape for Everton. Got the job done. Michael Keane, another centre-back, Robbie Musco, who is starting to play to his potential and a bit more responsibility against a Wolves team who still can't quite, for me, work it out without big Raul Jimenez as the lead man at the top of the pitch.
Yeah, Michael Keane almost made my underappreciated consideration for player. Brilliant header, by the way. What a really good header it was. Dinya involved back in the side. You know, Everton are kind of sneaking. Listen, same game as Liverpool.
Yeah.
1 point behind them. 1 point behind Everton. 32 points. Just 4 points behind the leaders, Manchester United, right now. So continue to get results. Continue to find ways to win. And that hasn't been the case of Everton. Absolutely right. This is going on at the same time as another game. So, but we did the highlights. We looked at the goals again and some of the movements. And Everton, well done. Well done. Some of those players, are injured players, are getting back now. Those fullbacks, I think, are both back now.
Yeah, Dinya played, didn't he? Yeah.
Hammers is back now. I love watching him play. We talked about him on the award show in terms of a good signing for Everton. Calvert-Lewin is out injured, isn't he, right now? So they've got to find a different solution. Yeah. Richarlison, I saw, came into the game. So, no, they keep doing well, Everton. And they're right there.
I just think that's a testament to good management, Angelotti, and he's a proper good manager.
Yeah, he's a proper good manager, and you're never going to see him get carried away. You're never going to see him under too much pressure. He's been around too long now, and I think that helps his players right now. But he wants his star players back fit again, and they can push on. They can absolutely push on. Andre Gomes was the cross I remember him back for that. Yeah, he's an important player, not always started recently. So when all those guys come back again, Everton fans can really start getting excited because they're in a good spot right now and they could get better when everybody's fit.
Yep, absolutely, my friend. I think that's where we're going to wrap it up ahead of a big weekend. So important fixtures this week during the midweek. Some serious consequences at both ends of the table. At the bottom, Sheffield United won a Premier League game. Ollie and Manchester United went top of the table at this stage of the season for the first time since the great days of Sir Alex Ferguson. So it leads us on to our next podcast. That's going to drop on Sunday, January the 17th. So that's after the big one, when first place second, Liverpool v Manchester United, where there's points, pride, and possibly titles on the line. Can't wait for that one. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musto, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe and stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.